just three moments of motherhood. The moment we have that pregnancy test and know we have a baby, the moment of birth, and then all too soon, the moment they leave home. I'd rather have them leave home like David or Samuel or Timothy than like Jacob, Cain, and Abel. Parents, work together. Hit the target that God has for you. Take out your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 18. This afternoon, we're going to talk about moments of motherhood. And there's a lot of moments, but I'm only going to go over three of them. I know there's a lot more, and you could fill in some gaps. But let's look at these three moments the Scripture gives us and enjoy what God has for us. Miss Judy, can you tell me who the first child was born? First child. You're very close. Yes, okay. First they had to raise Cain, and then they were able. Okay. Genesis 18, verse 10, the angel of the Lord has come to visit with Abraham. Abraham said, hey, hang out here, and I'm going to get a kid, and I'm going to dress it, and we're going to give you a good meal and a good hospitality. And Abraham does those things, and then they have a discussion in verse 10, and he says, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, if you can imagine Abraham living this nomadic life, and they follow the herds, and they kind of go where the grass is, and they go where the water is, and they set up their tents, and their tents would have been very nice, furnished area. They've been tarp or something that they would weave tight, and they'd put on the ground like a tarp, and then they would put down a mattress or a cushion. They hadn't figured out innerspring mattresses yet. Somebody else was going to come along and figure that out. But they would have put down a nice cushion there, and then they would have had nice rugs on top of it, and blankets, and pillows and things. And it would have been very, very nice tent. However, as they benefited from being rainproof and everything, and they could open up all the sides and let the wind blow through, and that was all nice, but it was not soundproof. So, you know, Sarah got as far as she could in that tent, either away from the conversation or toward it. I'm not sure, because the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about that. It just says, Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Well, she wasn't in her child producing years anymore. And here's the angel of the Lord. Now, we believe that this is a pre-carnate visitation of Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord. And he comes down, and there's three of them, and the angel of the Lord is there, and the two others, and they come to talk to Abraham, and Abraham has this conversation with them, and Sarah is able to hear this. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" See, it's not the angel of the Lord anymore. It's the Lord now. The Lord said unto Abraham, capital L-O-R-D, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? In 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." This is fascinating to me. Mr. Lindsay and I have discussed this before. I think about it in, I looked and I studied this, and I looked at all different ways Abraham tried to have offspring outside of God's plan. Now, if you'll indulge me for a second. Jacob and Esau, the two brothers fight in their mother's womb, and Esau comes out and he's all red in hair, and Jacob comes out and he's all puny and bald. Everybody says bald is beautiful, but everybody knows bald is not beautiful. And here's Esau, and he ends up being the guy that grabbed the goat and wrestled down He was the one that went out hunting, and he was the man of the forest, and he was the man of the field, and he was the shepherd of the flocks and everything. And here's Jacob stirring the pot of lentils. And Esau comes in one day all hungry. He says, "Hey, just sell me your birthright." He says, "What's good with my birthright? I'm ready to starve to death." "Okay, shake on it. Here's the lentils. Eats the lentils." Now, God has already promised that Esau will serve Jacob. And I wonder how God would have worked that out if people wouldn't have gotten involved. Interesting, isn't it? With Abraham, it's much more important. I say, "Pastor, why is it more important?" It's the starting of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. God has promised them a son. That promise to Abraham of his son was equal to his promise of a Savior. And what he promised, he was going to perform. Abraham, you know, one day he said, "Oh, you know what, God? I have this faithful servant who's over everything I have, and I trust him completely, and I like him, and I see his character, and I just love him, and he's born in my house, and I'm just going to adopt him, and he's going to be my son." And God said, "No. That's not what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to give you a son." "Okay, we'll wait a few more years," and everybody gets a little older. And then, yeah, "Here's what we're going to do, God. Handmade Hagar." It was Sarah's idea and everything. It's perfect. Everybody has children by their handmaid. It's in the Bible. Really? Oh, that's interesting. Where'd you learn that from? Oh, we learned it in Egypt. Oh no, you might go back to Egypt and be slaves for this one. Ishmael's born, and God says, "No!" So here comes the angel of the Lord. Says, "You are going to have a baby." In my lifetime, I have looked at a few announcements that I was going to have a baby. I've looked at a positive pregnancy test, and I didn't have a clue what it was. Had to get it all explained to me. I looked at a card that said, you got a bun in the oven. I looked at a pizza one time, and the pizza had an announcement written in pepperoni that we were going to have a baby. But that first time that we were with child, Jackie was not feeling well. And I said, you know what? You're probably pregnant. I wasn't serious, Mr. Lindsay. I was just kidding. I thought it was hilarious. And then she said, you know what? I have to check that out. Maybe you're right. Then I didn't. I was like scared. I didn't know what to think about that. It's a moment of time in life that'll be cemented in your memory and your mind forever. And so, of course, you know, the getting married changes everything, but this really, really changes everything. I mean, no longer could Jackie and I be just a couple of kids. Now we got to be parents on top of everything else we're doing. That moment in Genesis 18, 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? I want you to know that Abraham, that man of faith, and we have the tremendous Hall of Fame of faith in Hebrews 11. We have the tremendous discussion of faith in Romans. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And we have Abraham, who blinked a couple times. Said, God, maybe I can work this out. And God sent a message to him, to Sarah, and forward to us. And from this moment of motherhood, we take this lesson. Is anything too hard for God? And there's 1,000 applications for this into each of our lives. I want you to take from this moment of motherhood, the moment of the knowledge of pregnancy, is anything too hard for God? Look with me in Exodus chapter 2. It's one book over from Genesis. Judy, what was the name of the first kid that was born?
Cain.
All right. Perfect. Huh?
I forgot that was Cain.
They raised Cain and then they were Abel. In Exodus chapter 2, in verse 1, we have the moment of birth. This is a different moment for a lot of people. I remember Abby's birth, and Abby was a few degrees too cold, and they put her in an incubator. I know, isn't that for chickens? She's the only one that went in an incubator, I'll tell you that. And it makes you different when you go in an incubator. Yes, look at her. Well, you're different too. You and Abby, both a couple of singers. Must have been the incubator. I went with Abby and not with Jackie. I made sure that she was okay and that they didn't switch her with any other babies. And I gave her her first bath ever with the help of a nurse. And then we went back and we were united as a family. Emily was born. And it was a whole different circumstance. We'd just gotten a new house. And Jackie's prayer was that we would get in the house before Emily was born. We got in the house, and then Emily wasn't born for another Yeah, 20-some days. We moved in right around the due date, so she was cooking a little extra. And there was some challenges with her birth, and it was different. And then there was Zach. And Zach was being born, our dog ran away. And I went and looked for the dog for 10 minutes. And I found her. Then, Jacob and Zane, born in the hospital. A couple of scallywags. They made trouble right before they were born, and they had to go to the hospital and be born. And then there was Megan. All the kids went to sleep, and there was no Megan, and they woke up, and there was Megan. Amazing. The goodness and the blessings of God. And we know that these children are a gift from God. And like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, we did not get what we deserved. Man, we got so much better. We received grace. Look with me in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife for the daughter of Levi. This means they are both from the tribe of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. Now, this all sounds rather typical. Now, doesn't it? They got married and they had a baby. But that's not the only thing that's going on. They live in Egypt. Look back in verse 22 of chapter 1. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born shall be cast into the river. Sorry, Miss Judy, you know all the times I talk about throwing you in the river? Yeah. That was a joke. This is real. Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born shall be cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So when the man from the house of Levi and the woman, the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceives and they have a son, what are they supposed to do with their son? They're supposed to do something that everyone that's had a son has been tempted to do. Call the authorities and say, come and take this boy away and throw him in the river where the crocodiles are thickest. Is that what they did? It was the law. And don't you think they should have obeyed the law, Sarah? Huh. You're a rule breaker. Who would have thunk it? We follow and respect and obey the law as it follows and obeys the law of God. The Bible is the backbone for human law. Now, when you get 30 representatives and 30 senators and you put them down in Salem and they get to argue for a while and they make up a law, their law is not going to look like the Bible after a while. Especially when the fabric of our society and our culture is what it is, you're going to come up with all kinds of anti-God, anti-biblical, anti-Christian things. Abe Lincoln said, I must side with him that is right while he is right and part with him when he is wrong. In Romans 13, it says that the government and the laws are ordained by God and they're an executioner to punish the wrong and to reward the right. In Isaiah, it says that we're going to come to a point where we call good evil and evil good. Last time you heard a bell, we arrived at that point. And when she could no longer hide him, and she conceived and saw that he was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. Has anybody ever seen parents with a child? And they go, oh, isn't this child beautiful? And you're like, sorry, ma'am, but that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen in my life. You know, what? How can you say that? I have to be honest. No, that's not what you say. As far as babies go, it looks very good. Ugly! It takes some babies a few days to grow into themselves. Some of them are born like a floaty toy from a pool that has half the air out of it. And some of them are born with an odd color. Yeah, Jacob. Yeah, you had that yellow color, Jake. Some of them have just had a rough time being born. Right, Zach? That was you. That was you. It goes back to what we talked about this morning. A mother holds that baby and she sees the potential of the world. And she held, Jochebed held Moses and she saw that he was a goodly child. There's something very special about you. Because she was his mother. And she had a purpose for his life. She had a hope for him. She saw the potential in him. Your mother, I hope, looked at you and saw that same potential and that same love. She saw he was a goodly child. And she hid him 3 months. You know how hard it is to hide a baby? They're always fussing and making noise. And, you got a baby in there? No, we don't got a baby in here. There's nothing to see. Get Pharaoh's men away from here. She hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she said to her husband, let's throw him in the river. That's amazing to me. You know who showed her that this was a goodly child, that God had a purpose for him? See, we look at everything that God allowed Moses to accomplish. Look at Moses standing before Pharaoh. We look at Moses in front of the burning bush. We look at Moses saying, Pharaoh, if you don't let these people go, when you open your oven at 3 o'clock, 20 frogs are going to jump out. Pharaoh, your whole Nile River can be turned to blood. No, I don't think that can happen. Well, it did. Pharaoh, you could have lice all over your body. Nobody likes to think about that. You could have boils from... all the cows could die. And that's where holy cows came from, Mr. Lindsay. So when all the cows died, it was a hard blow. It wasn't just their livestock dying. It wasn't their steaks. It wasn't their refrigerator out there in the field. It was their God. And then... this is the same Moses that said, you know what? You let us go and they'll be gone tomorrow. He called off and called those plagues on because God was instructing him. Man, what a bunch of faith. What a bunch of victories that God won. Moses, the same guy that held out the staff over the Red Sea. And the sea parted and walked across on dry ground. I say, If that Levi man and that Levi woman would not have persisted. Said, well, we got to hand Moses over to the authorities because that's what's written in the letter of the law. Like I said, there's places in the Bible where we look and we say, man, I wonder how this would have worked if they would have got out of the way and let God do it. Jochebed got out of the way and let God do it. Who says, send the 3-year or 3-month-old child down to the river in a little bulrush basket, pitch with slime within and without? I'm certain God gave her the idea. She put that baby in the river in that little basket. And Miriam watches from a distance. And down to the river comes Pharaoh's daughter for a bath. What this proves is that you can take a bath in the river. No, God's planning puts Moses and Pharaoh's daughter in the same portion of water at the same time together. And the one person in all of Egypt who was more powerful than Pharaoh, girls, go home and think about that for a while, finds Moses, picks him up, says it's one of the Hebrew children, and I'm going to name him. As soon as he's named, it's over. I'm going to name him Moses because I drew him out of the river. We have the moment of the notice of pregnancy. We have the moment of birth in Hebrews 11. 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he's a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Miriam ran to Pharaoh's daughter and said, Hey, I can get one of the Hebrew ladies to come and help you with that child and take care of him for you. Pharaoh's daughter says, that's a tremendous idea. And she went and got Moses' own mother. And Moses' own mother is receiving wages to take care of her son, and now she has the crown protection. I want to give you 2 thoughts about this. She kept Moses till he was weaned. At the very outside, 7 years. And I say, oh my pastor, that is a long, long time. I'm sure she made it last as long as she could. Because the day that he was weaned, he left that house and he went to the big house. And I'm not talking about prison. Moses received enough instruction in the Word of God, enough understanding that all of the humanism and all of the teaching and all of the training of 40 years of education in Egypt did not overturn it. and he still saw by faith him who is invisible. He fled not fearing the king, just like his parents didn't fear. They handed down their precious like faith. God help us with 18 or 20 years to do what Jochebed did in 5 to 7. God help us, amen? We have the moment that we know about pregnancy. We have the moment of birth, and we're going to skip a few. And we're going to go to the moment when our children leave our jurisdiction. Don't you love thinking about that one, Mark? That's right. Like putting salt in your eyes, isn't it? We've got a balance here. We've got plenty of parents that have already done it, and we've got some that haven't. We got some that are very close. In Psalms 127, 3 and 4, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." We look at the first two children. What was the first child? Judy?
Cain.
Somebody helped you. What was the second one, Judy?
Abel.
We've got Cain and Abel. We know how that ended, don't we? Cain somehow killed Abel. Whether he took a rock or a stick, or whether he just grabbed him and he slew him with his hands, they were in the field together and he was angry, and he was angry at God. And he killed Abel. Next, we got Jacob. Remember how Jacob had to leave home and go to Laban's house, fleeing because Esau was going to kill him? That's because they work things out for God. Think about how David left home. David left home because he killed Goliath and he was a hero and the king wanted him to eat at his table every day and play to him out of his harp when the evil spirit came around. Certainly that was an honor back to his family. We think about how Samuel left home. Yeah, when he was 5, his mother took him to Eli and gave him to the Lord as she had promised. And every year she went to the temple to visit and she took him a coat, a little coat. Not sure what she was hoping it would stay little, but it kept growing. We think about Timothy and how he left home. And I'm not positive, but maybe the first time he really left home was to go on a missionary journey with the Apostle Paul. Children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I was thinking about this during the offering. The violins were playing in wonderful harmony. And then the piano was playing, kind of anchoring things down. And then Brother Jackson had some beautiful accompaniment on the organ. And together it was just beautiful. I was thinking about a home. It was like, you got the papa and the mama, and then you got the two children. And it's all coming together like a family. Say, oh, Pastor, you're so weird. That's okay. I know I'm the odd duck. But I want to symbolize this. You have a father and a mother. And they'll either, hand in glove, strengthen and enhance one another's authority in parenting. Or They'll be at odds with one another, and both will weaken the other. I knew a family that got a new car, and they made a family rule that no one was going to eat in the car. And then mom got in the car with the kids and said, you know what? It'd be nice if we went to McDonald's, wouldn't it? Yeah, let's all go to McDonald's. Roar! Well, we've not got time to stop, so we're going to have to eat in the van. Can nobody tell Dad? Okay. And then later on that week, Dad's driving with the kids somewhere, and it's like, boy, it sure would be nice if we could stop at McDonald's. The kid's like, yeah! But we made that family rule about not eating in the van. If we do this, will everybody promise not to tell Mom? It is humorous. But how does that translate out into all the other issues of life? Anything that we can get away with is okay. As long as everyone remains quiet, as long as nobody narks, it'll all be good. See, there's a problem. Because you've got those arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Come here for a second, Jack. There's been a few times in my life when I've shot at something. I had my brother with me or something. I put the gun down and leaned on the shoulder. And I got that aim. I'm going to say this, that arrow is in the hand of a mighty man. But so many times, mama's hands on the elbow, stabilizing things, securing the shot or the target. It is so very important that when you come to that moment, when you're going to let go, when you're going to see that investment, all of that blood, sweat, and tears, all of that effort, all of the training, all of the teaching, all of the hopes, all of the fears, when you see it accumulate into a moment and it walks out your door, hands up, let go, step back, let God, you're going to want to know that you work together. That you trusted the Lord. That you didn't ignore problems that they're walking out the door with. That you dealt with them and worked through them. That you inconvenienced yourself so that you can say, God, I did everything I could. Now you got to do the rest. Just three moments of motherhood. The moment we have that pregnancy test and know we're going to have a baby. The moment of birth. And then all too soon, the moment they leave home. I'd rather have them leave home like David or Samuel or Timothy than like Jacob and Cain and Abel. Parents, work together. Hit the target that God has for you.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.